to Border, the best radio show in the state of Wisconsin. Voted on by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association, the award-winning Wendy's Big Show.
Let's get ready to rock. Let's get ready to go. Get set. Ready. Get up. Hey. Let's get it on with
the Wendy's Big Show.
Come on,
showtime, baby.
Play some ball.
Showtime.
This is the Wendy's Big Show with Steve Sparky Pfeiffer, former Badger and Packers running back Gary Ellerson, and the inventor of the Lambeau Leap, Pro Football Hall of Famer Leroy Butler.
Well, it's the Big Show. Yes, it's a big, bad show tonight.
Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh. Live from the Lakeland University studios, Lakeland University now offering co-op credit for work experience. Learn your way at lakeland.edu. Everybody here today, other side of the glass, AR Adam Roberts, executive producer, doing his thing. Coming up in about a half hour or so, I'm going to play you back some of that Ian Rappaport from yesterday on Pat McAfee's show and let you take a gander at what he had to say, and we'll see what Gary and Leroy think of what Ian had to say as well. Mm-hmm. First half hour here, I want to talk about this Bucks-Celtics game coming up tonight. What are your keys to a Bucks win tonight? Game 5. Game 5 is this evening. 6 o'clock start, or so they say, coming up tonight on ESPN. So what are your keys to the game? The Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648. 855-830-8648. Experience online car buying on your terms with Van Horn Direct. You can also tweet us at Big Show Network. Gary Ellerson, your first key. I guess there's probably multiple, but first key to a Bucks win tonight against the Celtics.
Steve, I'm going to go ahead and let you finish, jump on this. Defer it back to you, your Bucks guy. You break it down a little bit better than me.
It all comes down for me to Drew Holiday tonight. Damn. He's just got to play better. Right? He's got to be more efficient. He's got to shoot at a better clip and finish around the rim better than he's been finishing around the rim. Same with Giannis. He also has not been finishing well either. But the if you're going to take 20, 25 shots, 30 shots, God forbid, Drew Holiday, if you're going to take that many shots and try and go beat that guy, that's fine. But you've got to be more efficient at it. You can't come out of this game going 6 of 23 or 6 of 25 or something crazy. Like that is not going to help this team win basketball games. Now, rebounding-wise, hopefully he helps on the boards, get a couple steals, he'll get some assists. But he's got to be more of a factor on the offensive side of the floor as far as scoring the basketball. So for me, my first key is Drew Holiday has to play better on the offensive side of the floor, Gary.
There it is. I think you and I both agree on that. He's the number two guy, and you're just not getting me. And that sometimes Holiday flies under the radar of criticism.
Yep.
We want to automatically go to Bud for criticism. But I think in some ways, Holiday now is in a bigger role because of Middleton. And just his numbers don't look good. So if he can be a little bit more efficient, I think will help greatly. My second thing would be, and this may or may go to Bud a little bit, but my second thing would be, Steve, let's do a little bit more. If it's those two guys, let's do a little bit more two-man game with Giannis and Holiday. A little bit more pick and roll. Make these guys choose. Make these guys choose who they want to jump out at or be on. Make them figure it out. And then from there, less kick, and I think you with that, because you're gonna have to clear the lane. With that, now maybe you can get Lopez out, freer a little bit more, or a better open shot for him, or Grayson Allen a better open shot. Because what's gonna happen if it's a two-man game with those guys? They all gonna collapse inside.
Right.
I think those guys on the outside now there will be better spacing for Grayson or Lopez or Connaughton to get their shot. I'm not asking Bud to change his game plan, but what I am asking Bud to do, though, your game plan changes because of no Middleton.
So let me ask you this.
Ask me, Steve.
I don't want Giannis bringing up the ball.
You're going to have that.
I understand, but I have a.
I don't disagree with
I
you.
I have a suggestion, and I want to see what you think of it.
All right.
So in order to avoid such thing, and to tinker yet again with this starting lineup, what if they started George Hill?
That's what would have to happen.
And played Drew off the ball.
That's what would have to happen.
And then Wesley Matthews is your three, essentially.
But you don't like George Hill.
Well, I don't. But
that's
you
what
said
have
it.
To happen.
You said it earlier in the show.
Yeah.
And I think you're right.
Yeah.
In which this offense would actually work better if he was the one that started it and got the ball swing going.
Yeah.
And let Giannis get to his spot where he needs to be. Let Drew run more off the ball to get more open shots. And go from there.
That's what would have to happen.
I think that makes the most sense.
Yeah. That one you say makes sense. Give me your five.
It's Hill.
Hill's
just Holiday.
Just take out Grayson Allen, I would.
Right.
Just take
Hill,
and just
Holiday, okay. Wesley Matthews.
Yeah.
And then Giannis and Brook Lopez.
So just right. So just okay.
But you Grayson. I mean, you have four guards, but
Grayson back to the bench.
Grayson back to the
bench. Well, you'd have three guards because Giannis and Lopez.
Yeah.
So you'd have three guards.
Yeah.
Wesley Matthews playing the three essentially on defense, guarding Tatum still. Yeah. And then it's just Drew Holiday. Can you slow down Jaylen Brown? I think he's strong enough.
No doubt.
I think he could do it.
When you get down by 20, then we'll reset. But hey, listen.
Yeah, you will have to reset. Down by 10,
I want Giannis bringing the ball up.
Hate it. Hated it last year. Hated it this year. Go ahead.
I'm not changing my system, man, because we lost a game.
No, I don't expect you to, bud.
When he comes up, he just has to, when the wall come up, get rid of it. Wide. Somebody's going to be wide open shot. Got to make it. If they making that shot, then there's no wall, and now he ain't got to spin down and charge on Smart and all these guys. They're gonna take charges. Let them flop it. No matter. Giannis got to get the ball up. You got a guy waiting on you and a guy defending you. Somebody's wide open. Rotate the ball, and if somebody got a wide open shot, they miss it. I look at it as a plus because I got the shot that I wanted. If you put Giannis down on that block with Lopez, it's so crowded, and you just got a bunch of trees down there. What are you going to do? And Lopez is not a block player.
No, he's going to be out on the corner waiting for the ball or out
that's
the top.
Where he need to be. Give Giannis all the space because he can shoot a three.
If you're
going
to run Giannis on the block, then yes, Lopez has to come out of there.
Yeah, agree. We got plays. Sometimes we let them run plays, Steve. Sometimes we let them do it on their own. What you talked about is correct, too. Holiday just can't come down. And just not even – he got wide open guy. He tried to play hero ball.
See, this is the other
thing. Don't even do that, Holiday. That ain't even your game.
Let me ask you about this.
Man, it took 55 shots in two games.
And I know it's not Bud's offense, so it's not going to happen. But what if Brook was the guy on the elbow kind of running the offense from that position and hitting the cutter going to the rim and running the offense from there? So he's not under the rim necessarily, and he's kind of the pivot guy.
Yeah, Bucks did it. The smartest guy in the room.
No, Bucks did it back in the day with Bogut. Yeah. Lakers did it back in the day, too. Yeah. I mean, we've seen it happen, and he's a good enough passer in order to make it work, I think.
I thought you don't see it.
What?
I thought you said it.
I just see a Sports Center logo. What do you want me to look at?
He missed it.
You just pointed it. Yeah. What?
Packers-Cowboy preview.
Packers-Cowboy preview coming up?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
By the way, since you two are going to get on me.
You said you ain't never seen it.
Just like you two are going to get on me if I don't bring this up. The Brewers are going to be hammered 7-0
by
the Reds.
Oh, no. AR told me.
But Yelich hit a 3-run homer. So now it's 7-3 Yelich with a 3-run shot.
Yeah, but it don't mean that. They already lose. It don't mean that.
Anytime Yelich does anything, it means something.
No, because they're going to say he's doing it when they're getting hammered.
It's just a step closer to getting back to normal.
No,
listen, every day he does something, the longer we go, the better.
No, I know. Steve, that's just
it's
like
the biggest story.
Who
that
call in yesterday? Was that Lou or somebody call in yesterday said even a game they won?
Oh yeah,
but dude. Still don't get no credit.
Nah.
This is the same thing. Oh, he playing against
it's
Cincinnati. They already down. The hit don't mean nothing.
But Steve said
I think it does. The longer Yelich continues to produce, the better it means for the rest of the season.
We need everybody else to not
Steve.
I mean, we're coming up on the middle of a month and a half now with Yelich.
Gary,
I'm trying.
No, he's trying. Yeah, I'm trying. This is a setup. This is a setup. This is a setup. This is a setup. Steve keep telling you, I've been giving till Memorial Day, or Labor Day, whichever comes first.
Yeah, but we're talking about the act, what he just did.
Steve keeps saying that. So by the time Memorial Day, Labor Day, whichever comes first.
But he's giving him credit now.
When it comes down to that, his drop deadline date, if this Joker ain't hitting 280, he's going to lose his natural mind.
But he's going to be. He's already right there. He's going to be. His power numbers are there. His average is getting to be right there. I mean, he looks good. He does. I'm just trying to tell y'all. The longer he goes.
Oh, he's going to flip, but both things can be true. He can give him to Memorial Day, and he can give him his flowers now.
Just wait.
Yeah, I just look at
it. Was it Memorial Day you waiting for?
June 1st. I've said it three times.
Yeah.
June 1st. But either way, I'm just telling you, the longer he goes, the better it is. If you're the Brewers,
Where you want to be at June 1st?
280. You want him at 280.
He just is where he is right now. I'm good. Just stay right where you are.
What do you bet right now?
Want him to dive down to like 190.
What's he betting right now?
Like 240.
No, he was at like 269 last time I looked.
Oh, I ain't never seen him that high. If he that high, we good. We good.
Yeah,
he was. 269.
Let me see. I don't know.
So he'll be 280.
7-4 now. Brewers are rallying.
Hey.
What inning, Steve?
No, I was wrong. I swore he was at 269.
I ain't never seen him at 260.
248.
Yeah, that's about right.
248.
All right, y'all, you got 3 weeks before he going to call you out. Just tell you that right now.
He giving him his flowers. Leave alone, man.
3 weeks.
Yeah, he got all the way up to 255. That was after Saturday's game. He was at 255. Maybe it was during Saturday's game he got up to that number at some point. Maybe not. I don't know. Either way, if he can get up to be, you know, around 280 or so, I think that's good.
Who pitching? Ashby?
His power's coming. Hauser started.
Hauser.
Destroyed.
Oh, Hauser.
Got absolutely destroyed. Let's go to Ronnie in Oak Creek.
What's up, Ronnie?
You're next on the Wendy's Big Show. What are your keys to a Bucks win tonight?
Thanks for taking my call. So I want to see Grayson Allen kind of taking a role for Middleton not being in there, at least shooting some threes. And then if Williams doesn't play for Boston, I think we should go with either way with Bobby Portis has got to play some more minutes in there. And because we need him to get going just for shooting, rebounds, everything he brings to the team is just, we need him in there. So,
see, and that's the thing. You didn't have him in there against the Nets. What if Bud says, hey, you know, we're gonna give Ibaka some run here and let Bobby sit. Are you going to be cool with that?
I would rather have Bobby in there than – but, I mean, either way, just a little bit – I mean, just for the size – I guess, but I would rather see Bobby in there.
Because I think, right, thanks for the call. If Ibaka plays, Gary, maybe I'm wrong, it's going to have to do more with Al Horford than anything else. If he goes running Ibaka out there, this is our answer to Al Horford and try and slow him down.
Yeah, go. And what you said earlier, use them all up.
Use all your fouls.
Be physical.
Hard.
Wear him down.
Yes.
Because on the other end, they've got Horford on Giannis. Go ahead. Do your thing, Ibaka.
But whoever Horford is guarding, they need to get the ball to and let them work against Horford. Like you said, make him work on defense. Yeah. Don't let him go down and stand there with his hands on his hips and watch.
Well, he was guarding Giannis for the most part.
Right. So whoever he's on tonight, if he's on Lopez, then throw the ball to Brook Lopez and tell him to go to work. If he's on Giannis, then let Giannis go to work. But by God, don't let him go down there and rest on the defensive side of the floor. What are your keys to a Bucks win tonight? The Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Experience online car buying on your terms with Van Horn Direct. You can also tweet us at Big Show Network. Read some of those tweets up next.
Wisconsin-wide, the Big Show Radio Network.
Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh. Steve Sparky Fiverr, Gary Ellerson with you, live from the Lakeland University studios. Don't forget, when the Bucks win, you win tonight at Wendy's. After every Bucks win, stop by any participating Wisconsin Wendy's for a free small Frosty. No purchase necessary, chocolate or vanilla. This offer is only good for 24 hours after a win, so act fast. When the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. Asking you, what are your keys to a Bucks win tonight? Coming in next segment, we'll play back some of Ian Rappaport. He was on the Pat McAfee show yesterday talking about the Packers and the free agent wide receivers that are available. We'll get Gary's thoughts on that coming up in the next segment. Asking you now for keys to the game for Bucks Celtics tonight. Mike in St. Francis, you're next on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Mike?
Howdy, guys. Hey, you know, it's not that they don't want their shots to drop. I keep hearing callers saying, oh, Connerton's got to make more, and Grayson's got to hit that. You know what? They want more than anyone on the planet for that shot to drop. Where I see a real, real big room for improvement are rebounds, in particular offensive boards. We're so much bigger than they are. If the lineup is in there. I'm not trying to outsmart Bud. He's
No, you can try and outsmart Bud. It's fine. Go ahead, Mike.
It's so different. They take that long three, and no one's there in position to grab the rebound. It's like a turnover.
You know, that's the thing, is the rebounding, right? And for the most part, they've been doing, I think, a good job on rebounding. The second chance opportunities is something of its own. And
yeah,
in that last game, that's something that Boston, I thought, did pretty good, being able to limit them to one shot and then getting the rebound and then getting out. The Bucks did a good job of, when they were getting turnovers on the Celtics, being able to get out into transition and score on those turnovers and make them pay for it. So they both did certain things well. And I know it's the NBA, so boxing out's not a thing. But, I mean, that would be something that would help. You know, to if you're not going to shoot the ball well and you can't hit a three-point shot to save your life, which apparently the Bucks can't nowadays, then you have to make it a point of emphasis, I think, in practice to say, look, if we're going to shoot 20 or 30 threes or whatever it's going to be in this game, and if we can't hit them, y'all got to do a better job boxing out underneath. And maybe instead of worrying about getting it back in transition off the rebound, because, you know, you hit a three,
yes,
it's going to be a long rebound. Mm-hmm. And then that transition opportunity is easier. So NBA teams say, don't worry about the rebound, just get back and don't allow the layup. And I don't know if you changed that or not, Gary, but that's part of it.
Well, and then someone did bring it to point. He's right, though. They were taking a lot of threes and weren't hitting any of them. They get long rebounds. Boston was getting out, getting easy layups on the other end. And so some of that has hurt the Milwaukee Bucks, too. I just think at the end of the day, it's going to be about the players, and it's going to be – whether he likes it or not, but has to make some sort of adjustment without Middleton. I don't know if you can play the same style that you've always played with no Middleton. With Middleton there, yeah, I get it. But when he's not there, there's something that's got to be different. Your offense already looks different anyway because you're doing all the ISO ball.
Playing a lot of one-on-one.
That's more than you've
is.
Ever played. Yep. And the reason why you're doing it is because no Middleton.
And it's easier to defend, though, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
If you're the Celtics, don't you love this? Like, mm-hmm. Go ahead, keep doing this.
You can see it.
Right.
See it coming.
We'll see what Bud does, but I just don't know if you can continue to do the same thing. I mean, Giannis has been efficient one of four games. One. Mm-hmm. That's it. And you're not only that, but physically, you're getting the hell beat out of him by doing it this way. And Drew Holiday is getting the hell beat out of him, too, by doing it this way. Because it's attack, attack, attack. They're going to make it to Game 7 at this point, the way they're having to play. Mm-hmm. Sean in Whitefish Bay, you're next here on the Wendy's Big Show with Gary and Sparky. What are your keys to a Bucks win tonight?
Oh, hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Oh, thanks.
Guys, et cetera, et cetera. Been listening to you guys all the way from the other side of the world. Yeah, listen, you guys were talking about Pat Connaughton, re-John Paxson. And LaVoy was talking about how Pat's a real key in terms of getting Pat when he's got those open looks and when he's doing well, the huge contribution to Bucks victories. Brought up John Paxson, you kind of discounted John Paxson's role and, you know, talk about, you know, the original, you know, the Bulls first three-peat or whatever, you know, it was on Jordan. When you look back on especially the first championship of that, John Paxson was the one that sealed the deal.
He had the one clutch shot. Yes, I know. I've seen it a million times.
He had 10 points in the last couple of minutes.
Right.
Because they were stiff and Jordan. And it just struck a little chord with me, A, because I do see Pat Connaughton's role a lot like that role on Bulls. And one time, crazy family story, John Paxson babysat me when I was a baby. So it got
there
real personal. Had to finally pull the trigger and call the guys. you know, but
that's fine, Sean. But this is my point. What I told Leroy, you don't go into a game going, well, if we're going to win, John, you're going to have to hit shots. I mean, that's not how it goes. You go into a game going, Michael, Scotty, y'all going to have to get this done. Horace Grant, y'all got to get it done. What we're doing right now is we're going in this game going, hey, man, it's on Pat. He's got to hit open shots or we're done.
Well,
he can't do that.
No, though, because if Pat goes into that game and he's not hitting those shots and it's all going through Drew and it's all going through Giannis, then they are going to lose. So in a way, it kind of really is very important. Just like Paxson, if Jordan had tried to hero ball that, you know, that first, they might not have won, you know, that last game.
But don't
game, you, know,
you might, don't so, you feel like, Sean, thanks for the phone call, but don't you feel like Paxson and Steve Kerr were better shooters than Connaughton?
My memory sucks, but Kerr for sure. Paxson, maybe.
Feels like
I'd have to look at numbers, but yeah, I mean, they both seem like it, but I don't know.
It may not be, but.
May not be, but
for
yeah.
sure Kerr.
But again, I mean, yeah, they both hit clutch shots.
Connaughton is not. necessarily a three-point shooter.
Right. They both hit clutch shots where, you know, Jordan gives them the ball. Right. Boom, they hit it. Everybody goes nuts and remembers them.
Shooter.
Right. Oh, yes. That's what he was on the floor for.
We knew that was, that's what it was.
For sure. And again, with Connaughton, listen, if you want to say the role players have to shoot better, Grayson Allen, you got to hit your shots. Pat, you got to hit your shots. Bobby Portis, hit your open shots. Okay, fine. If you're going to say these bench guys got to play better, I'm good. Where I have the issue is isolating it to one dude who should not have the weight of the world on him to begin with, going into a game and saying, you, specifically you, have to play better. If we're going to do the you have to play better, then that should be on Drew Holiday.
Correct.
That's where the weight of the world should be. Mm-hmm. Should not be on Pat Connaughton's shoulders at this point. Steve in Brookfield, you're next here on the Wendy's Big Show. What's up, Steve?
Oh, Sparky, you changed my thoughts, but you're right. I've been harping on Drew Holiday cannot shoot the ball 25 times and expect the Bucks to win.
Agreed.
Take 10 of those shots away. Give them to the other guys, Grayson, Connaughton, I don't care, whatever. Because it's too much isolation basketball out of Drew Holiday. It really, really is.
And Giannis. Giannis too much one-on-one, too.
But the difference between Drew Holiday and Giannis, you know what it is? It's height. You can get down and play with the big boys. Drew Holiday goes in the paint, and they will smother him.
Yep.
You got to kick the ball out. That's the difference between those two guys. I don't care if Giannis wants to do that drive here and there. That's okay. Stop shooting those threes. But other than that, Drew Holiday is killing us by not facilitating the game and passing the ball around. Horford, you can't let a 35-year-old guard. Bud has to coach. You know, good coaches, they coach throughout the game. You know, everybody says, well, we'll go look at tape. We'll go look at tape. You don't have a whole lot of time to look at tape when the game's on. You always better look at the tape. Just pass the ball around and stop shooting. Two guys cannot shoot the ball 60 times. It doesn't cut it in the NBA. It just does not. I cannot believe that they have not recognized this. Let the other two guys shoot the ball a little bit more. Yeah, they might not be the best shooters, but you know what? Give them a few more shots each because we're going to watch it tonight. I'm telling you, if Holiday starts shooting between 20 and 25, we're in trouble because he doesn't pass the ball. And that's the biggest problem with Milwaukee right now. We can win this game. I honestly believe in my heart we can beat the Celtics. If we beat the Celtics, this is the game right now. This is game 7. Because whoever wins this game probably is going to win game 7. I mean, it just is. We lost home court. We can come back and get this. But I don't know why Bud doesn't sit down and say, Drew, you're doing a great job. But, hey, let's get some players involved. Facilitate the game like a two-point guard you got
to
be.
And that's just it. And, again, thanks for the call. Again, we're right back to Bud again. I mean, is it on Bud that they're playing so much isolation basketball? Is it his fault, Gary? Or does Bud just not trust anybody else on the team but those two?
No, I think he just developed himself into that. I don't even know if that's a Bud plan.
But then Bud's got to stop it.
Right. I think it just happened because of no Middleton. These guys take it upon themselves to play hero ball. That's why I say they got to do – now the game plan changes. That's why I say they got to do other things. Because the game plan is not the same anymore when you had Middleton. That's why it has to change. I think this morphed into this hero ball with Holiday, with Giannis. Now let's do some pick and roll with these guys.
Yes.
Let's play that offense a little bit
right.
more. Let's get guys spread it out. Let's get Lopez in the corner over there. Let's get Grayson some better shots. Because if you go pick and roll, anybody who's diving to the lane, if it's going to be Giannis, they're going to collapse four guys on him. Then you better kick out there. And there should be an open shot. I think it's just as simple as that. But now let's incorporate Bud doing something a little bit different. But you're already doing a different game anyway because you don't have Middleton.
Yep, no doubt.
It's not the same game plan.
Brewers just had the bases loaded with Luis Urias up, and he stranded them all. Okay. So still 7-4 Reds over the Brewers going to the bottom of the fifth. In Cincinnati. Gary Ellerson, Steve Sparky Fiverr. It is the Wendy's Big Show. If you still want to jump aboard on this, you can. What are your keys to a Bucks win tonight? Also, going to get to Ian Rappaport, who was on Pat McAfee's show yesterday, talking about free agent wide receivers and the Green Bay Packers. We'll play some of that sound, too, straight ahead. But first, Gary's going to tell us all about his alma mater, Wisconsin.
Steve, your life is full.
Yeah, it is.
But you have this feeling you were meant for more.
Well, I say I wish Chris McIntosh and the Badgers football team had the same feeling.
Well, they do.
Yeah, meant for
what
more.
What if you finish your bachelor's degree while working and managing your busy life? So you're playing football and, you know,
yeah.
finish your Masters.
That's good.
You can find a path for a bright future.
I got to play in the Stars and Stripes Bowl. It was great.
A fully online program. They'll be there to help you every step of the way. Don't settle for less when you're meant for more. Learn more at online.wisc.edu.
You're listening to the Big Show Radio Network.
Wendy's Big Show served up hot and fresh. See Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson. Other side of the glass, AR, Adam Roberts, executive producer. Talking about this Bucks-Celtics game tonight, game 5 in Boston, 6 o'clock tip on ESPN. What are your keys to a Bucks win tonight? Van Horn Direct toll-free talk line, 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. Right now at Wendy's, satisfy your craving for sweet and heat with a new hot honey chicken sandwich featuring a bold hot honey sauce, apple with smoked bacon, and Wendy's signature spicy chicken filet. Try it now. Try the hot honey sauce on a crispy chicken biscuit at breakfast at participating U.S. Wendy's. Let's go to Mike. You're next in Cudahy on the Wendy's Big Show. What's going on, Mike?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call this afternoon.
Thanks, Mike.
I want to preface this conversation by first saying that Wisconsin sports fans are probably one of the most cerebral, well-informed sports enthusiasts anywhere. I mean, I've been listening to your program now for a while, and every time I do get a chance to tune in, I don't hear too many people there talking really stupid about anything. I mean, they're pretty – it must make your jobs a lot easier on the air, because I'm sure they share ideas with you guys, too, as far as the producer goes, coming up with the subject matter. I'm very impressed.
Oh, good. I'm glad you enjoy the show and the listeners. That's good. We got some good, well-informed listeners most of the time.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Here's the way I look at it. You can't just – you can go in with a game plan, but like we all know, coaching takes place. It's ad lib. You know, it's as the game goes. If the Bucks plan on hitting their threes and it's not going, they got to revert to something else. I would put in what I would do. I would put in a tall lineup, move the ball around a lot, and get more of the high percentage shots in the paint. And if they don't go down, at least you've got a second or third chance with the rebounds. That's the way I would do it. But you got to feel the game out as it goes along, because usually your plans don't always go, you know, like you want them to.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the one thing is in-game adjustments when we talk about this. Thanks for the call, Mike. Bud gets criticized for not making adjustments game to game, obviously. Do we feel like Bud does well making in-game adjustments? I'll start. No. Go ahead.
That was quick.
Well, because I knew you were going to defer to me anyhow.
Stop.
So I just
no.
Go ahead.
You know, it feels like, because I think we had someone on, and they actually addressed it. Marcus Johnson said that it is a game with adjustments, but sometimes coaches hold things
till
later in the series.
Yep.
It feels like that's what Bud does. You want in-game adjustments. Bud lets it play out and figure it out in the next game. That's normally what I've been seeing out of Bud.
Well, and look last year. I mean, they were down in series after series after series, and they played their best as it got later in the series.
That's what I feel like has happened with Bud. So I don't necessarily disagree with you, but that may be his plan.
And I think, as a Bucks fan, that also is something that makes you feel good, because they did play so well at the end of series when their backs were kind of up against the wall, and it got to a best-of-three situation in seven-game series or whatever. This team kind of always plays better in that type of situation.
It seems like they have, but this feels a little bit different in that they're losing leads in the fourth quarter, Steve.
Back to back.
This is weird to me.
Where they just can't finish.
They can't finish. And maybe that's because of Middleton.
Because they're spent by the fourth quarter.
Maybe that's because of Middleton. They got nothing left.
I can't. If they lose this series, I want to just see like how honest these players are going to be after.
What do you mean?
Like, is it simply going to be, dude, this is tough? I mean, you play as long as you played last year and everything else. It's tough, man. Physically, like, we're just beaten and drained at this point. Now, they're all not going to say that. They all weren't on this team. But Giannis, Drew, Lopez really can't say that because he wasn't there necessarily all year. I guess, really, there's not that many guys really on this team that were on this team last year. Now you start to think about it. I mean, they bring in Wesley Matthews. He wasn't here. George Hill, he wasn't here last year. Connaughton obviously was, so he could obviously – you know, go down that path and say that was part of it. But there's not that many guys. Ibaka, he wasn't here. He hadn't played all that much anyhow. So that's – because usually after you lose and the series is over, the playoffs are over, that's when guys tend to open up a little bit more. During the series, we're not going to make excuses. We're not going to talk about anything. Mm-hmm. Then when the series is done, it's, yeah, man, this was tough to do without Chris.
Right.
I mean, this was a tough deal. You know, not trying to make excuses, but that was a tough deal at the end of the day. All right, I'm going to transition quickly here. And play Ian Rappaport for you guys from the NFL Network, obviously, and also goes on Pat McAfee show. I don't know if it's a weekly hit or what he does, but he's on there quite a bit. And he was on Pat McAfee show on Sirius XM Radio, and they got to talking about free agent wide receivers and the Packers. It's only 2 minutes long. Here we go.
Jarvis Landry, allegedly the Baltimore Ravens are interested. I assume a lot of teams are interested in Jarvis Landry. Am I wrong in reading this? Why am I reading this wrong, and why is he not a Colt?
Welcome to the Colts, Jarvis Landry. You're not wrong, and I think a lot of people are interested. As always, money is the issue. And if you look historically at this time of year, the amount of players who've got, let's say, more than $10 million, you can count them on one hand. Like, it's like Clowney did 1 year, that was one. But there's, like, almost no players get more than, like, say, $10 million, which, you know, like, had Jarvis Landry, remember he visited the Falcons? We all thought that Deshaun Watson was going to go there, like, that probably would have been about a $10 million deal. I don't know where he gets that now. And, you know, I know the Browns offered him a pretty nice one-year deal where it would have been a pay cut, but he would have gone back there for a nice sum, turned that down. And now it's like, I would say the same thing for, you know, same thing for anyone who gets released this time of year. Like, it is not a lot of money out there. Teams have mostly spent.
Got to go to the booth. Go ahead, Ty. Yeah.
Rap Sheet, speaking of that, do you get the inclination that the Packers are going to be involved with any of these guys, or are they one of those teams where they're not really going to be able to give a guy $10 million, so they're probably not going to get one of these receivers?
I think the Packers are going to be involved in this market, and this is actually a great market for them because let's say you're Jarvis Landry, or maybe even better for the Packers, let's say you're Julio Jones, and you're not going to get $15 million. You're probably not going to get $10 million. The Packers would be one of those teams you'd want to join where maybe you make $3 million with some incentives, but you know you got a chance to make the Super Bowl. Like, that actually is attractive. So, you know, we got Odell, who obviously had interest from the Packers last time. You had Julio, who I imagine will get some interest from there. Landry, who I don't know has gotten interest from the Packers, but all those guys would make sense for Green Bay, who I would say might add another receiver at some point.
Right, and we had Tom Silverstein on earlier from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel and Green Bay Press Gazette Packers beat writer. He's convinced they're going to add a veteran wide receiver as well before this whole thing is said and done. I've seen some Packer fans, I'm going to preface it by saying fans, tweeting in the last 24 hours since Rappaport said that maybe this means Dean Lowry ends up on the chopping block to save $5 or $6 million in order to allow them to go out and get one of these free agent wide receivers and bring him in, add him to the roster. Would that make sense?
Well, I don't know if it's going to be Dean Lowry, but I still think they're in play for a veteran receiver. I mean, not that they have to be, but it feels like to me they have to be. I think they need another guy in that locker room or on the field that's kind of ready to go. You just talked to Tom Silverstein. He talked a little bit about Christian Watson in that he just don't think physically that he's developed enough to really go play 17 games in the NFL. And if that's the case, that's going to be a problem, which means that, you know, he's going to take some time to get ready. So you need a guy like a Jarvis Landry or like a Julio Jones, if he can stay healthy, to come in and give you a target right away with Aaron Rodgers.
So let's go over the wide receiver. Randall Cobb's on this team no matter what. Correct?
Correct.
Alan Lazard's on this team no matter what.
Correct.
Okay. Christian Watson is on this team no matter what.
Correct.
So those three are in. So now you have room for essentially three more. Now what we're talking about is Sammy Watkins, who, again, based on his deal, they could cut him out of training camp. They don't have
healthy.
They don't have to keep him.
You don't know if he's going to be healthy.
Right. But
I would say, is it Dobbs?
Dobbs from Nevada.
He's on right away.
So that means we're at five.
Yeah, right away.
If we're saying those guys are in, we're at five wide receivers. So you can add essentially one more to that room to kind of get you to six at this point, if that's the way you decide you want to go. And that does not include guys that were here, you know, in the past.
Right.
On the practice squad last year, whatever the case may be.
Amari Rodgers.
Amari Rodgers, that's six. So that means somebody's not
on. I don't think they give up on Amari Rodgers right away.
But of those, unless they keep seven wide receivers.
Right, and they very well could. Because I think that's your – is it six? I think that's your six. Given it was a
– That's Rodgers, a six.
Yeah, Rodgers.
Watkins, Amari Rodgers, Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard, Christian Watson, and Romeo Doubs.
Yeah, that's your six.
That's your six. So if they add a veteran wide receiver, who's out? That's what I said. That's why I brought it up earlier to Tom when I said, I think the wide receiver room is full. And he's like, oh, no, they can definitely – they should definitely add another one. Okay, well, then who's out? Because based on that six,
maybe that number's somewhere else that's out.
Maybe you go to seven and you cut back on position somewhere else.
Maybe that number's somewhere else. Maybe you go with four running backs.
See, and I tend to agree with you. I don't think they move on from Amari Rodgers after 1 year.
Do.
I think he's locked into this roster. Now, what I do want to see is, will he be the returner? Or will they be done with that and use him in a different way?
It could be Dobbs.
Or Watson. Watson return kicks.
Well, one's a
kick returner is Watson, right, specifically.
Right. And he's not a punt returner.
Correct.
So that Dobbs could be your punt returner. He fight that out with Amari Rodgers.
Yeah. It's gonna be interesting to see how this whole thing plays out. If you had a guess, which one do you think they end up with?
What do you mean?
Of the wide receivers that are left, which one do you think ends up? You think Landry?
Yeah. I think he fits like right now for them. I think he's another slot guy that potentially can play a little bit on the outside.
See, I think because of the Matt Ryan thing, Julio ends up in Indy. And I think Landry would make sense here because it would give you a veteran, a guy that's been through the battles for Rodgers, that gets it, smart football players can come in, team guy.
Yeah.
I mean, I've never heard of anybody having issues with Jarvis Landry in a locker room.
True.
Of his friends that he's played with, I've heard problems of, but not of Jarvis Landry himself.
Correct.
So, yeah, I'd be down for Jarvis Landry if that's how this whole thing plays out. All right, take a quick time out, come back, talk more about that Bucks-Celtics game and kind of which way Gary and I are going as far as who's going to win this thing. Coming up next here on the Wendy's Big Show.
Border to border, the Big Show Radio Network.
Big Show, served up hot and fresh. See Sparky Pfeiffer, Gary Ellerson, our guy AR, Adam Roberts, executive producer, other side of the glass. Going to hear from 8R coming up here and get his thoughts and predictions on the game tonight. Did Cincinnati just score another run? Is that what I just saw?
No, Hunter Renfrow had a dart from right field to get out a runner trying to turn a single into a double.
Oh, gotcha. So it's 8-4. Reds over the Brewers, bottom of six in Cincinnati right now as the Brewers trying to figure out how to win another game in Cincinnati. Christian Yelich, 3-for-3, run scored, 3 RBIs, including a home run, now up to 255, 354 on base. Again, like it looks like he's figuring it out and he's
that's the Reds.
Getting back to it.
It's the Reds.
I know it's the Reds.
No one cares.
Hunter Renfrow, as he just mentioned, he had a home run today as well. Renfrow, 7th on the year. Yelich is 5th on the year. Plus, Yelich has a double in this game. So keep an eye on the Brewers as we continue forward. All right, Gary Ellerson,
yes.
Bucks, Celtics tonight. How does this happen?
Well,
how does this all play out?
It's a bounce-back game for the Bucks. It's got to be.
Is there more pressure on the Bucks or the Celtics?
Bucks.
Really?
Yeah, they can't let this one get away.
See, I think there's more pressure on Boston.
Well, where is it? Bucks lose. Where does it go from here?
Milwaukee Friday.
Okay, then what?
Boston. And then I'm not sure. Sunday or Monday. I don't remember how that's gonna. I don't know if they've announced that yet. But yeah, so
I think it's the Bucks.
So you think more pressure is on the Bucks?
Yeah.
See, I think it's on Boston to win this game at home because they're at home. Like you don't want to be down to a must-win situation, have to go win at Fiserv Forum in Milwaukee on Friday, 2 days later.
How bad the Bucks have played, I think it's on the Bucks. The Bucks need to find something. They've given away games here.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
You can't lose another one like that.
I don't disagree. And the key to this thing, to me, is going to be the first, 5-6 minutes of the first, 5-6 minutes of the fourth.
That's normally what's been happening. It was third quarter.
Not anymore for this team. So now the key is going to be the first few minutes of the first because you're on the road, right? You don't need Boston running away and trying to hide 14-2.
Because you know they're coming out right now, game busters. You got to take
the crowd's going to be into it.
Yes, Lord.
Right. So you got to survive the first 5 or 6 minutes and keep it close.
Right.
And then once you get through that, then it's, okay, now let's go play our game. And what adjustments is Bud going to make for this game? Because Gary's right. Without Middleton, you got to do something.
You got to do something.
You can't
different.
Just continue to do what you've been doing the entire time. So you got Bucks tonight?
I got Bucks tonight, Steve.
Heart of a champion is what you said earlier.
Heart of a champion.
Okay. Don't forget, when the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. After every Bucks win, stop by any participating Wisconsin Wendy's for a free small frosty, chocolate, or vanilla. No purchase necessary. This offer is only good for 24 hours after a win, so act fast. When the Bucks win, you win at Wendy's. All right, let's get the prediction and thoughts of AR Adam Roberts coming up tonight, Bucks and Celtics.
Game 5. I think whoever wins this one wins the series. I know it might go 7 games, but this is a pivotal one, and I think if we can finally actually hit some threes, we'll win by about 8 or 9. If not, I think Boston wins by about 10. I think they're due, so give me the Bucks by about 8.
By 8?
Hey, sizable. I'm being a little more reasonable than some people who have them winning by 20.
That's true.
Golly, man. There's no way this is going to be a blowout.
A blowout.
I don't see. No, you said 20, but some people are saying 20.
Yeah, that's crazy.
What I'm saying.
No,
I don't think the Bucks can. I don't think the Bucks can blow on this team out in Boston. No.
They can't score enough.
I'm going sheerly not my brain, but I guess kind of my brain of how Bud was last year and making the adjustments game to game. So I'm hoping he does that and the Bucks figure out a way to win this game. In the last minute or so, they win by 3 to 5 points, something like that. But it's just hope. Let's talk to you tomorrow. Good luck, Bucks. Toodles.
All right. Talk to you later. Bye.